privilege of rabbi has even addressing us. In addition to the teaching and the influence that Rabbi Eisenberg has in our school, he is the preeminent Rebbe in the Sinai program at Beit Kol HaTorah, which gives him the unique opportunity to be giving over Torah in multiple settings. And I think I had the privilege, it was very timely yesterday, I got to sit in on one of Rabbi Eisenberg's lessons and just watch the visual and the verbal and the experiential all come together as Rebbe engaged in a class on something very specific and very beautiful. So it's our honor and our privilege to ask Rabbi Eisenberg to address us for precious seminar this week.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Eitland. It's a big schuss to be able to be here, especially to be the third installment of the Eisen Parsha Seminar Series 2 weeks with Rabbi Eisenman, and then Mrs. Eisenberg last week, so I'm happy to be part of the series. I'm a little nervous. I heard last week was amazing, so I don't know if I'm going to follow up, but I'll do my best. It's a very special week for me to do. This coming Monday is my mother's yard site. As most of the 10th through 12th grade now, my mother passed away this past year. So the first yard site is this Sunday night, Monday. So it's a big schus to be able to have a yard site Parsha seminar. We're going to be focusing on Parsha, but it should be Le'ilu Nishmasa, Le'ilu Nishmas Imi Morasi, Chai Rochabas David Tzvi, Shaman Shehaven Aliyah. And of course, all our learning is in schus of everybody in Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael worldwide, especially at the news today. We should have the Shemira we need, and we should have the Refuah, and we should have the security and Sakhna Mishmaya. The Torah tells us in this week's Parsha, it's Parsha seminar, so we should probably start with the Parsha. I'm going to do my best to focus on Parsha and not too much Hanukkah. My tummy does know it's very hard for me to not think about Hanukkah as we are just days before Hanukkah. We'll try to focus on Parsha. Yaakov is left alone. It's at night, the night before he's going to meet his brother Esav, to encounter Esav after many years of not seeing him. He is very afraid. He davens to Hashem, and that night, he's crossing his family over the river, and he's left by himself at a moment. Vayavik ishimo, and a man avaked him. What does vayavik mean? So we know it means that he was fighting with him, he was wrestling with him, something like that. We'll see how we get there. Adalos ha-shachar, until daybreak, until morning. So it doesn't even say the man came, approached him just out of nowhere, and a man was fighting with him, wrestling with him all morning. Vayar, and he saw kilo yacholo, that he was not able to overcome him. This man was not able to overcome him. Vayiga bekav yericho, so he touched him, he struck him in the socket of his thigh. Vatekav kav regel yaakov, vayavko imo, and he dislodged, he displaced his thigh, the socket of his thigh, in this Hail Vayik. So, of course, we know that this is not just a normal man. Spoiler, who is this man? Chazal tell us, Rashi puts it here. It's a malach, not just any malach. Sar of Esav, the ministering angel of Esav. But let's take a look at Rashi to understand how we know what that means. Vayel Vayik, what does that mean? So Rashi first he says, well, he was alone. Why was he alone? Shokaf pachim katana v'chazar alehem. He left some jugs on the other side, so he went back to get them. Ve'avek ishimo. So Menachem Peresh, he quotes Menachem, the Rebbe Menachem, that ve'is afar. What does ve'avek mean? Ve'is afar. Afar is dust. Lashon avak, it means dust. Shemal in afar beraglehem al yidei nanu nuam. That they made dust go flying with their feet and all their movements and all their wrestling. They made dust fly up. So what is ve'avek ishimo mean? According to the first shot in Rashi, he says it means that they became dusty with him, that there was some scuffle that resulted in dust flying up. He says, really, Mira, but to me it seems, shehu lashon ve'yiskasher, that it's a lashon of being entangled, kind of like wrestling, and he supports that. So two possibilities of what ve'avek is, it became dusty with, or is wrestling. But the truth is that these are not just something Rashi's saying, but it's the Gemara. The Gemara brings these. Gemara says, this is a Chulin, Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph, First quote of Yeshua ben Levi, who says that we have another, you know, ka'adam shechovek es chavero, like, behayavek is like chovek, like a chibuk, like a hug. That he was like hugging his, like a friend, with a hand, one hand over here, one hand over here. They were all entangled. It was like wrestling. That's one possibility. And then you can go to the bold. Gemara Yeshua ben Levi, this is another pshat. Gemara needs, the way the Gemara plays out, it needs to give another possibility of what it means. That the dust, it comes from a lesson of dust, of avak. Vayavak is avak. And it made dust fly up to the kisei hakavod. How do we know? Because it says over here, avak, behev ko, and it says by Nachum, one of the Treyasar, that there is a cloud of dust in their feet, from their feet. Right, dust is kicked up into a cloud from their feet. So it says that what the Gemara is saying, that there was dust that flew up to the Kisei HaKavod. And the question is, what does that mean? Vayavet Ichimo, so there was dust flying up to the Kisei HaKavod. That's a big scuffle. That's a lot of wrestling for the dust to fly up there. What are Chazal trying to tell us? So just for those of you who appreciate Ramazan, we'll just quote Baal Turim over here. Baal Turim is the great Gadol Posek, the Tur, son of the Rush. And he also has the Baal Turim. He has many Ramazan. He was Nifter in 1340. No, you do not have to write down that date. But Vayavik, he says, is Begamachia Kisei HaKavod. Melamid Shehalo HaVak at Kisei HaKavod. The word Vayavik is Begamachia Kisei HaKavod. So this teaches us that the dust flew up to the Kisei HaKavod. Just one note about the Baal Turim. If you would have read that Baal Turim by yourself, so you would have said, what did he learn from the Gematria? I could do any Gematria and figure it out and say, no, that's what happened. But if you know, if you trust the Baal Turim, he's quoting Mamari Chazal all the time. He's always quoting Gemaras, he's quoting Midrashim, and he's just supporting them with the Remez. He's not deriving from this Gematria that has happened, but he's supporting the Gemara. But that's not our focus. Our focus, we're going to turn over now to the next page, top source. This is a Midrash in Bamidbar Rabbah. A little bit of a side point, though, very relevant. It's a Midrash in Bamidbar Rabbah. There's a very similar Gemara in Hulin that's often quoted in this context, but this Midrash is more precise for how we're going to explain it. V'af b'shoah shahayu nosim lo hayu parsin alav lo beged argamon lo tolah shani el beged kliot t'cheles. This is talking about Parshas Truma, the Mishkan. They would cover it with, they would cover a piece of Mishkan with a garment of Tcheles. Lama, why Tcheles? So what's special about Tcheles? Shehat Tcheles domeh layam. Tcheles, well, the word was Tcheles. It's blue wool. It's similar to the yam, the sea. Ve'yam domeh l'rakia. You ever noticed the sea is very similar to the sky. Virakia, don't know the Kisei HaKavod. I don't know how many of you have seen the Kisei HaKavod, but for those of us in the VM who have, so Kisei HaKavod is some sort of bluish color. Right? We do see indications, Chazal, or not Chazal, the Chumash itself tells us that there is some sort of sapphire brickwork under Kisei HaKavod by Matan Torah that was seen. So the Kisei HaKavod is also this color blue. And the Midrash quotes Pesukim to support it. So again, what's this Midrash saying? That Tcheles is important. Over here it's talking about something for the Mishkan, but in general, there's a mitzvah that we say in Kriya Shema, the third paragraph of Kriya Shema, that a person is supposed to wear Tcheles. Not everywhere wears Tcheles, and most people don't, because we likely do not have the correct version of what Tcheles is. We lost it for at least many years. So there's a mitzvah to wear Tcheles. Why blue? What's that blue wool for? Says the Midrash. Well, blue reminds us of the blue sea, which reminds us of the blue sky, which reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod. And I'm sure many of you are thinking, so why don't we cut the middlemen? So just if they're different shades, then have Tcheles be the shade of the Kisei HaKavod. And if they're all one shade, then just say, oh, this reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod. Why does it have to go all these steps? The pshat in this midrash, and it's also there's a very similar Gemara in Chulin, which adds one more piece, but it's the same idea. What's going on in the Gemara? What's going on in this midrash? So I heard many, many years ago, Bishop of Shmuel, Brazil, Rosh Hashanah, Torah, was in Shai Yoshev, that the idea is that a Yid has to be able to always see deeper and see the next level. That we need to be able to look at the Tcheles and bring that into our mind, to look at the sea, and then to see even deeper than the sea, and see the sky, and even deeper than that, to ultimately see Kisei HaKavod, and really always try to trace everything back to Hashem. And it has to be in levels, and it has to be constantly seeing deeper and deeper and deeper until you get there, until you're able to see Hashem with clarity. At least the Kisei HaKavod that Hashem is sitting on. To see Hashem with clarity is not possible. But at least the Kisei HaKavod, in a sense. And that's how he understands it. And this explains is what's going on with the fight with the Malach. The Malach is trying to stop Yaakov from being able to connect and see deeper. He's trying to make Yaakov think about his challenges, to lose his emunah, to lose his faith. It wasn't just a physical fight. It was also something going on. There was inner turmoil that this Malach was fighting and wrestling with Yaakov and trying to stop him from going all the way, to be able to connect everything back to the Kisei HaKavod. And based on that, it makes a lot of sense that the Midrash says, where did the dust go to? The dust was flying up to the Kisei HaKavod. It's trying to block off the Kisei HaKavod, not let Yaakov see deeper. You're going to see, maybe you can see Tcheles, maybe the Yam, maybe even the Rakia. I'm not going to let you see all the way to see the Kisei HaKavod. Not going to let you get there. Don't connect it back to Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Yaakov ultimately prevails. It's a tough battle. But we need to be able to see Hashem in everything and always look deeper. And if you haven't seen Hashem yet, then look deeper. And if you haven't seen Hashem yet, look deeper. To make sure you're always getting, you're going to go to connect to Hashem. Deeper than the sea, deeper than the heavens. To see the Kisei HaKavod. And this is there's really a beautiful remnant in this pasuk that's going to support this. The two sources on the page, we have Chassam Sofer over here, Chassam Sofer of Rav Moshe Schreiber, Rav Moshe Sofer. He was nifter in 1839. He was the Rav and Rosh Yeshiva of Pressburg. And he's really quoting the next source you see over here, the Shla, Shnei Luchos HaBris. My grandfather is actually a first cousin of Rav Shalom Halevi Horowitz, who is a direct descendant of the Shla. He's a patriarch of a large family, Kain Hara and Hevron. Hashem should watch over him and his entire family. The Shla is unbelievable, Makubal, and his. I quote it on the page just so you have it, because I'm sure you'll hold on to these Parsha seminar sheets for the next 100 years or so, and Hashem, and pass it on to your children. So you can always just have a good maradokum of how to find the Shla. It's a very deep, unbelievable, beautiful Shla. The Tzom Sofer makes it he quotes it and takes it a little bit of a different direction. It makes it simpler. I'm going to do even simpler than that. But let's start with the Tzom Sofer. He says, "Vayiga bekaf yirecho." He struck him in the kaf yirecho, the socket of his yerech, of his thigh. Haremez al derech shekzav hashla al pimash amru chazal. He says there's a remez explained by the shla. Again, the shnei luchos habris from Yeshaya Levi Horowitz. What Chazal say, Tcheles doma liyam, biyam l'rakia, rakia doma l'kisei HaKavod. What does it mean that Tcheles is like the sea, like the sky, like the Kisei HaKavod? So you can skip down to the next level. He's ultimately going to say the Kisei HaKavod is alludes to the base of Mikdash. See the Chazal Sofer if you want. But the bottom line is, v'shlosha mechinos, the bowl, again, the second to last source, v'shlosha mechinos elu, heim roshe tevos, yerech, yam, Yud, Rakia is, what's Rakia begin with? Reish, Kisei, Chaf, right? So Yerech, Yam, Rakia, Kisei, that's Yerech. And where did he hit him? Bekaf Yerecho, Kaf, the Chaf of Yerech. Kaf Yerecho is the Chaf of the Yerech. What is the Chaf of the Yerech? Of Yam, Rakia, Kisei. What is the Chaf? The Kisei. That he was stopping him from getting to the Kisei HaKavod. He said, I'll get you to the Yam, that's fine. the Rukia, but I'm not going to let you bring it all the way back to Hashem. I'm not going to let you get it connected to there. That's not going to happen. He hits him in the Bekaf Yerecho, in the calf of his Yerech. Not going to let him get that far. And the Shlok quotes the same idea, and again, he takes it to many deeper levels and explains what Yam really is, and Rukia really is, and Kisei really is. But just for now, just to work with that Remez, this is beautiful to support what we're saying. There's the Kisei HaKavod, the ability to try to see Hashem in everything, and the Mala of Esav, the Sar Esav, the Yitzhar Hara, the forces of evil, the Sitra Achra in this world, try to prevent us from being able to connect everything back to Hashem. Of course, this fight goes until when? Ad Alos HaShachar, until morning, until daybreak in Yaakov's mind, where Yaakov finally has clarity, he's able to break through, and not, he's not just fighting for himself, it's not just one person, he's fighting for all of us, Yaakov, because we're all from him. We're all Yotzei Yerech Yaakov. We all come from Yaakov. So it's important for Yaakov to be able to fight this fight and win, and when there's finally daybreak, there's it dawns on him, the clarity of Hashem, that's when he wins the fight. The Gemara in Brachos talks about, you know, you might have heard in your shul, earliest talis and tefillin time. When does the day start? So the Gemara in Brachos quotes in Mishnah, a couple of brisos. You should know what that is now, at least 10th grade and on. And it quotes different sources that say that how do you know when it's morning? When you're able to differentiate between, one of the things, between white and blue. When you're able to see the difference between lavan and tcheles. Again, this idea that the daybreak is tcheles, is being able to take it all the way. A flag that we're seeing a lot these days is the Israeli flag, and of course it's not a coincidence. What are the colors of the Israeli flag? White and blue. Now it does not mean that every person in the government believes what I'm about to say, but the symbolism of the white and blue for sure is it's a talis, it's a tchelis. And Baruch Hashem, what we've been seeing is that our brothers that are fighting right now, there's an increase in wearing what garments in particular? Tzitzis, heavy emphasis. What is that? What's going on in Pnimius? What is Hashem trying to tell the world? What are people starting to wake up to? It's that connecting everything back to Hashem and that Hashem is running the show. The flag that they're waving, halavai, halavai, everyone will see it as tcheles soon. But we have to see that Hashem is the one who's making this happen. We need to know that Hashem is the ish milchama. Hashem is the one who's fighting. Or just on the front. Hashem is the one who's really doing it for us and have that clarity. So, I can't not talk about Hanukkah. Just the word Vayiga, right here. Vayiga, v'kaf yerecho. Vayiga is gematria Hanukkah. Kaf, if you rearrange the letters, it's pach. Pach shemen. Why does Yaakov go back? What he was looking for? Pach and katanim, small jug. I can't. Just have to. This is what Hanukkah is about. The Chashmonaim fighting this big war. And of course, are they the ones who did it? Were they the big heroes? Do we say, Mi Yimalel Gvoros Yisrael? No. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Mi Yimalel Gvoros Hashem. We focus on the Nes Pach Shemen, the oil, the miracle that shows that it was clearly Hashem. We have two main mitzvahs of Hanukkah. At night, we light the menorah. There's a major day mitzvah of Hanukkah. Halel Lada. Lahodos Lahalel. Halel. At night, when it's dark, when we're in the fight of Yaakov, in the dust of the earth and fighting and dusty, and we don't have clarity, so it's dark, then we light the candles and we try to bring Alos HaShachar, we try to bring daybreak, clarity, to see Hashem. And in the morning when we've achieved that, we dive in Hallel and we say, Meis Hashem Hayis Hazos, Hina Flaz Be'aneinu. This is from Hashem. This all came from Hashem. This did not happen on our own. We did not achieve this on our own. It's all Hashem. That's what's going on in the Chanukah story. That's what's going on in the current story. And it's important to always be mindful and always see Hashem behind everything. This is something that my mother was very, very big on. This is the Torah of my mother. Hatitash Torah Simecha. Always, everything that would happen, anything that would happen in the news, she would say, okay, Mashiach is coming. It was good news, Mashiach is coming. It's bad news, Mashiach is coming. Everything was about that. She would sit by the Hanukkah candles the entire time, davening. Not just the first half hour, until the candles would go out and beyond then. Davening the whole time. I have some of the tefillos that she wrote down, davening for Mashiach, davening for all kinds of things, for the whole world to see the truth of Hashem. That was something that was a fervent tefillah of her, constantly, constantly on her lips, to be always davening for Mashiach. And Mirat Hashem, hopefully we'll have this opportunity very, very soon. The Kham Mashiach, Beheir Yemeinu.
Thank you,
Rabbi.
I've heard this morning. We appreciate that very much. I would like to wish everybody a beautiful day.
That was my best.